Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition, the debut Friday edition of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We're going to be bringing you two shows every single week just for you, the fans. So make sure you go over to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe. Give us a five-star rating. We would really appreciate it. Go check us out on Stitcher Radio. While I have your attention before the show starts today, today is the debut Friday show. It is also October the 3rd, so I want to send a very, very special birthday shout out to my main man, the Duke of Debonair, Tay Mitch. Happy birthday, bro. I'll see you tonight. And now, here's the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the coach. You're checking out the Brad Gilmore Show with the dress you wearing, Ric Flair good hair having, entertainment world champion Brad Gilmore. World champion Brad Gilmore. Brad, did you really think I was going to cut a promo for you? Supporting you? Listen, man, I was born a heel. I'm going to die a heel. And in the middle, I'm going to roll a heel.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. On Demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand right here.
What's going down is your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
I'm the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you get that, sucker?
On Demand.
Yeah.
On Demand. On Demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a monumentous occasion. That's right. Monumentous. Is that right? Is that the right way to say it? I don't know. Now, it sounds weird now that I'm saying it aloud. It might not be the right way, but who cares? Today is a special day in the history of the Brad Gilmore Show. Because today is Friday, and it is the debut of our Friday show. That's right. We are here now every Monday and every Friday with a Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. So for all those people who've been saying, Brad, why can't you do the show more? One day a week is not enough. Well, guess what? Here you are. A Friday show. Now, you might say, what's the difference between the Monday show and the Friday show? Well, there aren't very many differences, all right? It's going to be the same format. We're going to have our musical breaks, our guests, me blabbering on about nothing in the beginning. But the difference is, you know, on Mondays we have DJ Motai's Monday morning music mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. And here on Fridays, I decided to do something different. Something a little cool. Give Motai a break from producing all these mixes every Monday. Because Lord knows, two mixes. Motai, man. Anyway, that's another story. So I decided on we're going to do Friday feature mixes for a featured DJ to come in and DJ for our musical break. And today's special guest DJ is the one and only DJ Arsenic, is going to be doing a special funk. That's right, F-U-N-K, a funk mix for you today on the Brad Gilmore Show. Anyway, today's show is going to be great. Friday, everyone, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday if you're one of those kind of people. Today, though, is also monumentous. There I go again. Why is that? Just doesn't sound like it's the right way to say it. I don't know why. It just doesn't sound right. Anyway, Another thing that's happening today that's a very big deal to me is the launch of my official website, bradjgilmore.com. Now, you might ask, why is it not bradgilmore.com? Because some D-bag out there in Hollywood who's a casting director has gotten to the Brad Gilmore domain first. It pisses me off because even when you type in bradgilmore.com, it goes to bgcasting.com. I need to send an email. I'm going to try to get bradgilmore.com, but for now, it's bradjgilmore.com. One letter difference, so hopefully too many people don't get confused. Brad J. Gilmore. J is my middle initial. My name is Bradley James Gilmore. Whitest name ever. I know. But yeah, so you can go to the website. You can check out the podcast there. I have a blog there. You can see multiple videos, listen to my music there. I mean, it's just a one-stop shop for all things Brad Gilmore, and hopefully launching a shop soon, actually, on the website. So shout out to anybody who's checking out BradJGilmore.com or even listening to this on BradJGilmore.com. Special shout out to you. Yeah, that's you. I like it. You. Anyway, what a great show we have for you today. We have part two of my talk with Sexy Steve DeMarco from Reality of Wrestling. We're going to talk more about comics. A lot of you like comics. And it's going to go into our debut show on next Wednesday, Nerds or Geeks, the debut edition of a comic book show hosted by me and Jedi Master. That's coming to you next Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. But I wanted to talk about something. I haven't been going to a lot of events recently. I've just kind of been staying here, working on my site, podcasting, planning stuff out for Reality of Wrestling, which, by the way, the next live show is October 11th, Clear Lake Sports and Recreation Complex. Special guests include the Boogeyman and Hardcore Bob Holly. Go to realityofwrestling.com to get your tickets right now and tickets for meet and greet. We're doing a special pink out promotion for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which has officially started as of Wednesday. So go over to realitywrestling.com. We're running a contest. You can get tickets and meet Bob Holly and Boogeyman for free. Also, buy one of the pink out shirts. All proceeds go to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So, but anyway, I haven't been going to a lot of events lately, and I saw that Bun B, the elusive guest of the Brad Gilmore Show, one day he will be on here, but I saw that Bun B was releasing his own Astros snapback in conjunction with Academy and Active Athlete and the Astros. So I decided, I was like, you know what, let me go. So I wanted to go, so I drove down to Academy over there on 59 in Kirby here in Houston, ran into my friend Saman Ashrawi, who's a friend of the show, been on the show before. Go check out his episode. Really, really interesting guy. He works for Revolt TV. That's Diddy's network. He was in Houston. I ran into him and his friend Zach, and we just sat there and chatted. And Saman's one of the Trill Gladiators. So he's a kind of part of Bun B's team, but he wanted to surprise Bun. So we stand in this line that wrapped around the building for about almost 2 hours to surprise Bun B. So we end up finally getting there. Bun's surprised. I talked to Bun. You know, I said hello. You know, I hadn't seen him in a while. When was the last time I saw Bun B? It might have been his coloring book release. No. Yeah, I think that might have been the last time I saw him, when he and Shea Serrano released Bun B's coloring rap coloring and activity book. I always get the title mixed up. So it was cool to see. His manager, Truck, let us back in the VIP area where they had catering and everything. Saw some friends back there. Andre Johnson was there. J-Mac from 97.9. So mix and mingle with those guys. It was really cool. And this Tuesday at the Active Athlete store, they're doing another meet and greet slash signature, hat signature signing or whatever. Autograph session is what I'm trying to think of. At the Active Athlete store. More details on that would be at BradJGilmore.com. So head over there and check all that out. Also, though, this week, I got a nice little package in the mail. You know, surprisingly, you know, sometimes you get those gifts in the mail that you're not expecting. Those are the best kind, right? So I get a package in the mail, and it says it's from Luxury Goods Company, right? It's a clothing company. And so I'm like, okay, this is cool. It felt like a shirt. So I open it, boom, and I got this nice polo shirt, which you can see at BradJGilmore.com on the blog. I'll post a picture there. And and they said they want to sponsor me. So look at that. Your man Brad Gilmore, I have a corporate sponsor. So you'll be seeing me wear these Purple Bear polo shirts and these Luxury Goods shirts a little more often, just in case you're like, what's this new brand Brad likes so much? And I do like it. It's a very comfortable shirt. It fits perfect. I look good in it, which is the most important thing, is me looking good. So, I mean, yeah, shout out to Luxury Goods Company. Looking forward to working with them more in the future. So anyway, with all that being said, why am I doing this? I don't know. With all that being said, we're going to get into our interview with we're going to do our Feature Friday guest mix right now with DJ Arsenic, and then we're going to get into our interview with Steve DeMarco for the Friday edition of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. This Monday, look forward to my talk with my good friend Hash Brown as we talk his group's new album, the Houston Elite MCs, Non-Parel. his new music video, and our new podcast together. So much stuff to talk about with Hash Brown, so make sure you check that out on Monday. So without further ado, here's DJ Arsenic's Feature Friday Mix.
Seahorse. Yeah.
But going back to Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
I didn't like Maggie Gyllenhaal either. And my reasoning, though, was probably different than yours, because you wanted it for continuity.
I wanted it for continuity, and I, again, being a Dawson Creek fan, I was a Katie Holmes fan. Like, I still find her attractive. Mind you, you could have cast any number of women in that role, and I would have probably been okay with it. I just didn't like the continuity, and I found myself during Dark Knight wanting her to die. When she died, I didn't get the same... I was like, oh, Bruce, you can move on now.
Yeah, it's great.
Alfred, give him the letter. It's fine. Let him know that she's moved on. It's fine. Bruce, you could date a Russian ballerina. There's hotter women. Why her? But yeah.
For me, though, it was like looking back, like, okay, if I go back to Superman with Christopher Reeve, Margaret Kidder to me was not a Lois Lane.
Yeah.
She just wasn't attractive at all.
Yeah.
And she didn't play it right for me.
Yeah.
And that was almost Rachel Dawes. She played it right, mm-hmm. but Maggie Gyllenhaal, I just don't find as attractive as Katie Holmes.
Yeah, yeah.
So a little bit of it was, you like her? You know what I mean?
Like if you're a friend of Bruce's,
yeah,
and he's like, yeah, man, I really dig this chick. You go, her?
Her, really?
Did you see? Have you seen the fine specimens that are walking around? You're Bruce Wayne.
You're Bruce Wayne. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, Maggie Gyllenhaal. But, I mean, Dark Knight, though. I mean, let's talk about how amazing of a film that was.
Blown away. And people, you hear about people now criticizing Ben Affleck for being the new Batman. You know, always, there's always going to be issues with whoever you cast. I didn't have such a hard time buying Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Well, I did, because, you know, you're going from gay cowboy to the Joker.
See, I was going 10 things I hate about you to, yeah. So I wasn't, I'm like, well, why couldn't you get Val Kilmer? There's gotta be someone looking for, yeah, I may have taken a step back, but I was willing to wait to pass judgment until I'd actually seen his performance.
Yeah.
And yeah, of the three, by far, Dark Knight's my favorite because of the Joker storyline and his introduction. Robbing a mob bank, like all the little intricacies of how corrupt Gotham City is. I was completely blown away. Again, the one criticism I had was, oh, why Maggie Gyllenhaal? Why her? But yeah, I was completely blown away, and blown away by just what the movie was trying to tell, and then I've watched the trilogy recently, and it is just such a good arc overall.
It's a good story arc for Bruce Wayne and his character, and Dark Knight was cool. I mean, we talk about Joker. I mean, just the opening scene with the bank robbery, and then just. I always found it interesting when I watched it. I was like, hey, he tells different stories of how he got the scars.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that was just really intriguing.
Yeah.
But to me, I was always like, whenever I was going to see it, I think I actually saw it with my dad, and I was like, Dad, there's no way, though, Heath Ledger can be better than Jack Nicholson. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Jack Nicholson's the man. And then you look, then you see the movie, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow. That was all. And, you know, he's like, I'm going to make this pencil disappear. And then, bye.
Yeah,
and I'm
like, just, oh. His whole... Just his whole performance as a whole, like I
mean, he won the Oscar for
it. Yeah. And I want to think that he would have won it regardless
if he died or not. Well, what was funny was he was actually, Robert Downey Jr. was nominated that same in the same
for
category.
Tropic Thunder.
For Tropic Thunder, yeah, which is strange.
Yeah. Another great performance, Tropic Thunder. I mean, like Downey, he hit just a stride at that point, you know, and
then Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an awesome actor. So you see the Dark Knight movies, but what's funny about DC, and then Man of Steel comes out.
Which I think is now the answer. And I always kind of found, you know, I had Gustavo on my show, and we were talking about it. You look at Marvel, they grab, in essence, a B character in Iron Man. You know, not everyone's a big fan. I think, for me, it would have probably been Captain America. Proof that apparently steroids are a good thing. You can't say they're a bad thing. He's pumped full of them. The Hulk, you know, there's certain ones, but Iron Man really I wasn't a fan of. And so for DC to go, well, we're going to use our biggest gun. This is the guy. Like, he's the representation of our company. I just find it, I find it interesting that they're having to play catch up. Because with the Dark Knight stuff, they could have legitimately had something which could have placated to, you know, and of course Nolan's going to do what he does. But now that they've got Nolan on board, but it's still like you don't have a DC film studio like Marvel. Like, it's, they are playing catch up. I'm really intrigued by Marvel, the fact that through it all, you know, you thought Avengers was going to be the tipping point for them, realizing it's just the first, first main chapter of a phase that Guardians, which I had no, I didn't know what Guardians was. My roommate did. He avoided the trailers. He didn't want, you know, he complained about casting. He didn't like Zoe Saldana as Gamora. He was like, she's too skinny. He didn't want Batista, and he's a wrestler and a wrestling fan, and didn't want Batista as Drax. Drax. And then just to see how that movie came out, just simply amazing. It's such a mind-blowing thing. And then you think back to the, like, the Batman and Robin, and how far we've come since that, point. Yeah.
I really think that the Dark Knight trilogy and Iron Man 1 and 2 kind of set the bar of, all right, look. But it's funny. I mean, all right, look, we're going to take these superhero movies seriously. But what's funny about Marvel is they kind of like, they make really good superhero films, and but they're kind of like, but it's they still have fun with it. It's, real, it's still real lighthearted.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the violence is kind of lighthearted.
Yeah.
And I guess that might be in part because they're owned by Disney now. But,
well, no, they can. They realize that you can, you can achieve getting mass appeal if you keep it under a certain rating. And with Disney, yeah, you can. And at the same time, there's no blood, really, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas with DC, with Man of Steel, even though that felt, the ending of that film versus the ending of an Avengers film or even Guardians, I guess for me, because I'm such a big Superman fan, it hit me harder than any of the... The Guardian stuff.
That ending.
Although the stuff with Quill and him reaching out and his mom and the way she dies at the beginning, I was completely, you know, on board.
I want to talk in full about Guardians here in a second. But when we talk about Man of Steel, and that kind of being, from what I read, is DC's first installment in their universe, their, what you said, their answer to Marvel.
Yeah.
The ending where Superman kills
Zod.
I mean, as a Superman fan, because I was too, man, although I've watched almost every Superman movie, documentary, everything that's out there, and it's like, Superman kills?
Yeah.
Not only does he kill, he kills Zod?
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, and the whole, I mean, the whole mythology has changed completely in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who's a Superman fan, probably, if you're a purist and you love the origin of Superman, you're probably like, what the hell is this movie?
Well, as being a Superman fan from day one, I mean, my wallet's a Superman wallet.
Yeah.
I have Superman all over the place. I am much like you, and I think one of the things I liked, valued about Dark Knight was, or the Batman, the Nolan series, was that they did stay true to the fact that Batman doesn't kill, and he stayed to that moral, like, I don't want to become worse. At the same time, much like you, I was completely shocked by the killing of Zod. It did stop me dead in my tracks.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think, well, Zod gave him no choice. It is one of those things, like, you know, he's raised human, so he has that upbringing. And unfortunately, he was faced with, let him kill the family, which, you know, again, you could nitpick. I can nitpick how the hell Lois Lane seemed to show up everywhere.
Yeah.
Wait, they're miles away. How did you make that jog? And why couldn't you get there faster? Maybe you could have put your hand on his shoulder. I don't know. did you have to let him kill? Yeah, I find it... I wasn't as shocked, I guess, because I remember Zod saying... this is going to end one of two ways. Either I kill you or you kill me. I don't know. I was okay with it. I don't know if I was as okay with all the mass destruction or
the crazy mass destruction. The of crazy Sears mass and Walmart
destruction. The IHOP was never the same.
IHOP, yeah.
Poor Smallville rebuilding. He's lost his childhood home. I still am. I don't know if Lois Lane has a power. Because she was just so fast. She was always there.
She was always there.
Yeah, I don't know if I still agreed with when Zod's group finally touches down on Earth and they go, "No, we want Lois with us." I was like, why do you
care about Lois?
What does it matter? So I could find flaws in it. But at the same time, you know, back to the Zod dying, it gave him no reason. And I'm curious as to I read interviews where they're like, Nolan specifically told them, write it as you're not going to be able, there are not going to be other sequels. And DC going, no, this is our,
this is
we're
our
going to
yeah.
kick off everything with it. And then not knowing, but the reality is if you can't do good box office with the Superman story, everyone loves Superman. He's one of the most iconic images. You know, his logo is probably one of the most iconic images. So,
I definitely think so. And so that's their first one, and then we have Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice mm-hmm. coming out next year, right? Or is it 2016? Yeah, 2015.
I think it's next year.
I think it's late next year. And Ben Affleck was, of course, cast as Batman, which I think he's going to do good.
Yeah.
I have faith in Ben Affleck. I mean, we all know Daredevil wasn't the greatest film of all time, but for some reason, I think he can pull it off. I mean, we've seen his work lately. He's a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
You know, won the Academy Award for that,
Argo, right?
Argo. And so, I mean, he's an awesome director as well. Mm-hmm. I think him being a director and kind of being on that side of the camera and figuring out how to tell a story from behind the camera can only help him tell a story in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. But for me, Marvel's latest offering, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, man.
I knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. When Batista made his return to WWE earlier in the year, which, you know, like we talked about, he had got such grief coming back. And I think it was just the wrong time for him to come back.
Well, I always find it odd, especially with the wrestling fans, when it's just become so vocal when they don't like something, they will go out of their way to be so extremely vocal that you really don't give this guy a chance. At the same time, I don't know. Like, when they announced Batista coming back, I was kind of a head scratcher because last time I saw him, he had quit.
Yeah,
I was seemingly under the impression he really wanted to be out. I've heard interviews since. Like, I think Jericho did one with him where he talked about it, that he just wanted to come back, and I was fine with that. I mean, I was great with The Rock coming back. I didn't have any of that. You know, if he stumbled on stuff, I was still like, well, it's The Rock. Like,
he's The Rock.
Yeah,
that's the biggest star, stars ever.
Same thing with...
if we talk about outside of the business, The Rock's the biggest wrestling star of all time.
Yes. He can do no wrong. We should be happy that he's there.
Yeah.
Same thing with Batista. I was like, well, that's cool. He's a former Evolution member. I can get it. At the same time, I think I was like a lot of wrestling fans. I wanted Daniel Bryan's story to finish. I felt like what they kicked off at SummerSlam last year was such a great story, and they seemingly had this underswell of such great support for the guy that, I could understand the fans being vocal. I just, you know, felt bad for Batista in some respects because, again, he's coming in. I don't know what his contract stipulated, what promises were made, if any promises were made. But that's neither here nor there. At the end of the day, he's just going out there to perform. I remember that Royal Rumble feeling really bad for Rey Mysterio.
Oh, my God.
I think Rey's that's the first time he's ever been a heel.
Yeah.
And just so odd. But back to Guardians.
So Batista makes his return, and I'm hearing, like, oh, this August, you know. I mean, he made his return in January, and they're like, oh, well, this August, you know, he has his Marvel movie coming out, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, being a Marvel fan, I'm like, what the hell is Guardians of the Galaxy?
What is that? I wasn't aware of them either. My My roommate, huge fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was telling me about Star-Lord and Drax and Rocket Raccoon and Groot and Gamora. Like, he was telling me about them, and I think I read one or two issues with the group, but I was kind of the same way. Like, I didn't understand how big it was going to be. Like, how much further they were going to take it, you know?
After Avengers, you know, you're like, well, where are they going with this? And then Iron Man 3 comes out, and Cap 2, which was great.
Yeah, Cap 2 was awesome.
Cap 2 was awesome. And then so I'm like, well, what the hell is the Guardians of the Galaxy? And Thor 2 was okay. I like Thor 2 better than Thor 1.
I was all right with Thor 1. I think it's real hard. Thor's mythology is hard to get into.
Same thing with like a Hulk standalone. It's just like, it's hard.
Can you do really a Hulk standalone? I was a big fan of the Incredible Hulk TV series.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the music, because every time he'd walk and the sad piano music.
And Bill Bixby was just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes, maybe that's the only way you could do it. He goes town to town. But yeah, I don't know. Him. And Thor, to some degree, I mean, even though he's got a rich mythology, it's still a mythology that I don't quite grasp. I guess it would be the equivalent if Superman was on Krypton. I probably wouldn't care because it's like, oh, it's Krypton. I don't understand.
Exactly.
I don't understand.
So there's this mythology. So those movies out, and I'm like, but what is Guardians? I don't understand. And yeah. I saw a preview of it, and I was like, that looks interesting. Like, is it a comedy? Is it
the soundtrack. I think I saw the trailer and the soundtrack, and I was like, why are they playing this music?
Yeah.
It doesn't fit with what they're
why
trying
to... Why are they playing B.J. Thomas Hooked on a Feeling?
Yeah.
It was like, well, I don't think it was the B.J. Thomas version. I think it was Blue Suede. Yeah. But I was like, what is this? And so I remember I was actually here at the studio cutting an interview, and I got a text from a buddy of mine. He was like, hey, we're going to go see the first showing in Houston of Guardians at 7. He's like, you want to come? And I'm like, yeah, man, save me a seat. So I bought my ticket at Fandango. You know, it's the IMAX, you know, RPX 3D or whatever at Edwards Cinemas. And I'm sitting there, and it starts, and, you know, that first scene of him as a boy, and he's reaching out to his mom. I guess she had cancer or something.
Yeah, she reached out to him, and he's like, I don't want to touch her. And then
he gets the gift and puts it in his backpack.
And then all of a sudden he's hoisted away. And yeah, oh, man.
I was like, well, okay, so they told like a really emotional kind of moment there, and I was like, oh, wow, that was kind of heavy.
Yeah.
And then here he is, like this, you know, mid-20s, early 30s kind of douchebag in a way, you know what I mean? Because he's grabbing rats or whatever and singing to him, and he was like, I'm Star-Lord, man.
Yeah, you know. And it was like, who? Who's Star-Lord, yeah.
So, but when that movie was over, I was like, first of all, maybe one of the best Marvel movies ever.
Yeah.
And then second of all, Zoe Saldana is sexy no matter what color she is.
Yeah.
But the story was awesome. Yeah, the collector. And then Batista did an awesome job.
Yeah. Really amazed by his literal take on everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just so funny. It was where you know, Rocket was like, you know, he doesn't understand metaphors.
Yeah.
They go right over his head. He goes, nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I will catch it. You know, it was just like, wow, I didn't expect. I thought when Batista was in the movie, it was going to be a semi-minor role, and then he probably wouldn't speak at all.
Yeah.
He'd probably be like Grunt, and maybe he'd be like Groot.
Just say, I am
Groot. But,
another one that stole the show. I mean, they all really just,
it was
to
amazing
bottom, such a great
character balance. Because no one kind of outshined anyone.
No.
When I think about it, I'm like, Gamora had her moments. Peter Quill, Star-Lord had his.
Yeah.
Rocket, you know, Groot.
Even
Drax.
Even Nebula.
Nebula.
Oh man, I was a big fan of hers. I don't know why. Like, I want to know what happens.
Or
to her.
Nebula, and then Ronan.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, and then we finally got to see Thanos, voiced
by
Josh Brolin.
That was awesome. That just
when I was sitting in the theater and he turned around in the chair and I was like, it's Thanos. He's finally here.
Yep.
It was such.
And death will soon follow. I'm just real intrigued where they're going, because I mean, they got Age of Ultron, and then you hear like Avengers 3. They're not going to have the entire cast. Then I hear like Cap 3 will be the last. You know, that'll be the last Captain America with Evans as Captain America. Like, they probably will kill him off. I mean.
Well, I heard Kevin Feige say who's like the leader of Marvel Studios. He said this about Iron Man, but I want to know, oh, do you think it's about all their characters? Is, you know, you're a big continuity guy. Me, my favorite film series of all time is the James Bond film series.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no sort of continuity in that at all, except for this like last kind
of few movies. Yeah, you never know if it's another alternate reality.
If it's James Bond.
Does he
just
get face work done?
Is James Bond just a code name? Like,
is it like
know.
The A-Team where it's the Smith guy and he's just, yeah, we've got many of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I heard Kevin Feige say is that Iron Man is their James Bond, and it doesn't matter what actor plays him, they'll still make Iron Man movies. For me, I can't think of anyone outside of Robert Downey Jr. being Iron Man, but I probably retrospectively would say the same thing about no one could be James Bond except Sean Connery.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think that once they get past Avengers 3 Age of Ultron, and that's into Phase 3,
mm-hmm.
or I mean Avengers 3 is the last one, that's not Age of Ultron, that's 2.
Mm-hmm.
When they get to 3, which I know they're building up toward, which the Guardians will be in,
yeah.
Thanos will be in.
Yeah, I don't know if...
Do you think they're going to reboot the universe, or they think you're going to continue it and cast new characters as
I could
Cap
see
and
them,
Iron Man?
I could probably see them... I don't think they're going to reboot. I don't think Marvel will go that far. I think they're just going to continue with the story they started with Iron Man 1 and just continue to build... I think their hope might be that, well, we can go in many different directions. Maybe we can recast. I don't know. That would be difficult.
So I would hate for that Iron Man faceplate to open and it not
and,
be,
and
Ra-
it be
Robert
somebody
Jr.
else. Or he passes the mantle. They could do something like that. I think I was one of those before Dark Knight Rises came out, and there was talk of possibly having Joker on it. So when Dark Knight Rises was going to come out, I think there was talk of maybe having a recurrent, like, I think people figured, oh, well, we'll continue with the Joker story, but who would play him? And I was like, well, the thing with a Joker character is he could go to Arkham, you could find a guy that's similar, just with the face paint and somebody else and just a different take on it. And I was like, oh, Ben Foster could play him. You know,
yeah.
A good actor that had the emotional range. But with like a Tony Stark or with even Chris Evans, I don't know because there are now so many movies and they haven't gone there yet with a recasting. Not to say that you couldn't do
except
it.
Except for Mark Ruffalo replacing
But
Ed
again,
Norton.
Like, they didn't enter... It'd be different now if, say, Edward Norton was in Avengers, and then they go, okay, well, we're going to get Mark Ruffalo to do...
Yeah.
That, you know, I think by that point, I don't even know if they really count the Hulk movie in the overall...
It's in the unit. It is phase one.
A little bit? Yeah, I see him.
But they don't talk about it really ever.
No, it's kind of...
It didn't do great, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'd be really intrigued to see what they would do. I mean, you know, you realize at some point that Downey may not want to do it again, although with such a great franchise and he's one of the highest paid actors with it, why not continue to do it until it's truly over? I mean, Johnny Depp can do Pirates of the Caribbean 8 or 9, and we're not going to have any problem with it, although I think at some point he becomes just so – how far can you take that story? Yeah, I'd be really interested to see if what the backlash would be if because even when they've hinted, there's been so much backlash of, oh, well, I can't see somebody else playing it, but that is kind of the nature of
Hollywood.
The beast. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like, well, if he doesn't want to do it, we'll find someone.
So what let me ask you this and then we'll wrap things up.
Uh-huh.
What are you most looking forward to 2015? Are you most looking forward to Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, or Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice?
Ooh.
It is a tough question. I understand. You talk about
I would probably say the Dawn of Justice just to see where part two of this huge story is. I think I'm more concerned about Batman versus Superman as opposed to Avengers, only because they seemingly have pulled off you can tell that they're going to be able to pull off the big group. You know, Guardians has again proved they can take virtual, you know, a property that not a lot of us knew, and it's breaking box office records because it's a Marvel film. I don't think it's so much Marvel's now like the WWE. It's a brand that you don't care what story they're telling or who the cast of characters is.
It's always going to be WrestleMania is going to be successful.
Yeah, it's just a continue. Yeah, WrestleMania sold out before they announced the first match. I mean, yeah. The Santa Clara, WrestleMania 31 is already sold out. I think WrestleMania 32 is already sold out. And you don't even know who's on the card. So I think Marvel's going to be kind of be the same way. I'm interested if with some of the characters, you know, what they're going to do with those. And I wonder what DC's going to do, because every other day, especially on Facebook or any internet out there, it's kind of, they're going to have Aquaman in this one. And they're going to have Green Arrow in this one. You know, so you're kind of curious as to how they're going to introduce all these characters.
Especially,
you know,
like, you know, they had that Green Lantern film, which was not great.
Yeah. That was tough, because that was another tough one. I'm not a big Green Lantern fan, although I liked Blackest Night. I liked that series of that story arc. Not a big fan of Green Lantern.
I liked when they teamed him up with Green Arrow.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, a standalone movie, even with Ryan Reynolds, I think it still was one of those films that was the old formula. Like, we can put a decent enough name of an actor and it's going to sell. And DC really still not having a true idea of where they wanted to go. They just want to make these singular films, where I think that's where Marvel's got up on them, where it's like, well, we know we want to have all these characters. It's an entire universe, where it's DC still, it's just one film. Like that thing of, well, we don't know if we're going to do a sequel of Man of Steel. It's kind of like, you guys need to put all your eggs in the basket and just get it going.
Start doing it. Yeah, if you're going to have any chance against Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have the two biggest superheroes of all time in Batman and Superman, but they're just so many steps behind Marvel at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Marvel has 10 movies in this universe.
Yeah.
DC's just, you know, they're going to put their second one out next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they are really playing catch up at this point. And I think also, you know, when we see the universes of X-Men kind of growing now. I know they're going to have they're going to have X-Men. I can't think of it right now.
I still haven't seen Apocalypse. Days of Future.
You haven't seen Days of Future Past?
No. I saw First Class, and I liked it. Again, really good cast. And I still think, God, when are we going to see that crossover? You know, and that's the thing. Like, and then the new Spider-Man, the reboot, which, and I was kind of dumbfounded when I heard about the reboot.
I didn't like the new Spider-Man.
I saw the first one. I hadn't seen the second one.
Don't waste your time on the second one.
No, really?
I rented it at Redbox. Watched it last night, actually.
Really?
So
I wanted.
Bad.
We just got a 3D television, so I was like, we don't have that much 3D stuff. Maybe we'll rent it. And again, I want
to rent it. Give it a watch. See what you think.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, it was just Jamie Foxx as Electro was just not great for me. It's like, how does an Academy Award winning actor do such a terrible job at a role? You know,
how
what I mean?
Does a big box office star like Arnold Schwarzenegger do such a poor job being Dr. Freeze? I'm really just intrigued. I really hope that DC has a plan and that they stick with it.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, honestly, I believe that film's going to be great.
I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I think Ben Affleck's a good enough actor. I was okay with Amy Adams as Lois.
I was okay with her too.
And I'm okay with, I'm just okay with all these guys. I'm okay with Henry Cavill as Superman. I'd prefer an American actor, but It is what it is. Christian Bale did a phenomenal job as
Batman.
Yeah. So,
mean, look at Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine anyone but him doing it?
No. I think I watched the Metallica movie not too long ago, and I was like, well, the bassist could probably play him, because he's just a big, squatting all the time. But, Yeah, I that's another one. Like, if they ever wanted to recast Wolverine, you almost kind of go, well, who would you?
Who could you get
outside
better
of Hugh Jackman? Who are you going to get? Yeah, yeah, so I'm really intrigued. I'm intrigued to see what happens to The Rock. What role he chooses to take?
I know it's either Black Adam or Shazam.
And either way, it's kind of wow. Okay,
I think he could do Shazam.
Yeah,
I think
he
should lean towards Shazam.
Yeah, yeah.
Too.
Then you can get an ethnic kid to play the part of.
What's weird though in the new Fantastic Four film is though Johnny Storm is a black guy,
yeah,
and Sue Storm's a white girl, so I don't know how they're gonna.
And their brother and sister.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna play that.
They're
gonna
be adopted.
They might be. I mean, whatever works. It's interesting.
Also, yeah, the
my favorite though character before in Dark Knight before I forget. Zeus was in Dark Knight, and he almost blew up the boats.
He was the actual the morality. He was like, oh, I'll do what you guys should have done all along, and then throws it out. Yeah, that was a great nod to have Tony Tiny Lister. I'm really intrigued by what's going to come about.
A lot of great things happening in the cinematic universes of Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
I know we got a new Fantastic Four next year, new Avengers, a new new Guardians gonna come out to 17, I think.
I think 17. Yeah, imagine how long it takes for these movies to come out. Man,
I know,
so
but when they come out, it feels like the last one just happened.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's strange. But Steve DeMarco, I appreciate you talking comics with me for a while now.
Yeah, man. Anytime. I appreciate being on the show.
Thank you, man. Well, until next week, this is Brad Gilmore for Steve DeMarco. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.
The Brad Gilmore Show expresses views and opinions that apply to Brad Gilmore and his guest alone. They do not reflect the views and opinions of Reality Wrestling 2011 or any other entity.
Oh, Brian, what have you done now?